This is the Oil and Gas Startups Podcast, where we showcase emerging technology and the stories of industry founders, investors, and leaders with your hosts, Jake Corley and Colin McClelland.
Yeah, so we went to Austin yesterday to visit with the Green Light guys, with Matt Gallagher and Rob and rest of the team. And dude, I was actually really impressed with Green Lake and one, what they've built on their data side.
Super impressive.
Two, how they're forward thinking, trying to learn about Bitcoin mining, especially in a low price environment. And then, you know, just they're fun people to hang out with.
And also too. Extremely tall too.
Yeah, they're extremely tall. I mean, shit, dude. Matt and
6'5", 6'6" is like the average height of Green Lake.
That's what I asked him. I said, is there a minimum height requirement to work at Green Lake? And am I welcome here? Because I'm clearly under the threshold.
And you get to stack a press release. So you get to add another one of those to your belt.
Yeah, so it's funny because we went to lunch before we went to their office. And we're sitting there and like, we have something for you. And they hand over this this
letter. I was for sure. I was like, this has got to be like, oh, this is like first access to some big acquisition. Or
that's
like,
what
we're
I thought.
Going public or something. I was like, oh, we're getting like first access to something.
This and they you know, I take the letter out of the envelope and I look at it. And it's like Green Lake Energy engages in an LOI with top Bitcoin advisory firm. So that's what I thought. I was like, let's go. Like, I thought like they're moving forward with Bitcoin. And then I start reading the paragraph and it's talking about how they partnered up with us. And it's like, you know, CEO Colin McClelland had this to say, and it's like, I am the source. And so what I appreciate about this was like real time memeage that was happening, you know, because this was evolving over on Twitter. You know, I made this video that was like, I am the source. And Rob, I guess Matt was headed out of the office to go to a doctor's appointment before our lunch, and he told Rob to get this press release spun up. And so Rob made it in like 10 minutes, and you know, it had their Green Lake energy letterhead, and it was from their IR department and had like a phone number for the call-in. So I don't know if like people on Twitter are like, oh yeah, I'm going to call in. But I just had like so much appreciation for their sense of humor and like they took time to go create that.
So let's give some context for those who are not familiar. So Matt Gallagher worked his way up at Parsley to becoming CEO of Parsley, right?
No, he was at Pioneer.
Was it Pioneer before Parsley, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I don't know if you. Did you see at Green Lake's on their desk, they had the lease signs with Green Lake and it had the employees' names on it? I thought that was cool. And I was at my mom and stepdad's ranch a couple weeks ago, and I saw my stepdad had one of those lease signs from Pioneer, and it said Dave on it. And I'm not going to say his last name. And I took a picture of it because I was like, I want to get some of those made for digital wildcatters. Yeah, sure. Like, that'd be sweet. And we walked into Green Lake's office and I saw that. And so
everybody's desk had one.
I pulled out that picture of my stepdad's and I showed it to Matt. And Matt's like, your stepdad's Dave? And I was like, yeah. And he knew Dave. And then I was like, you know, Jeff James as well. And Jeff is my uncle. And I think Jeff, you know, kind of helped train up Matt when he was young over at Pioneer. So went from Pioneer to Parsley.
Sold Parsley to Pioneer.
Became CEO of Parsley and then sold Parsley to Pioneer.
Then he joined their board.
What did they sell for? Wasn't it like $5 billion?
I don't remember the exact dollar amount.
Let me look real quick so that we can get some context here. Parsley acquisition. I want to say it was like $4.5 billion.
Yeah, so $4.5 billion to Pioneer. Joined Pioneer's board. He's still on the board of Chesapeake.
What year was that? That was 2021, January 2021. He's on the board for Chesapeake.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I think he was, you know, doing some work with NGP. You know, he told us that he sat in with Halliburton Labs and, you know, were investing in some of the companies alongside. You know, I thought it was funny because he made a comment. He's like, yeah, you know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, you know, some of this deep energy tech because it's like, oh yeah, you know, 10 years we may be able to monetize and you know, Matt's a true oil and gas guy. He's looking at free cash flow and bottom line. So,
well, I mean, that was like part of their original thesis, that they wanted to dedicate a certain percentage of their capital to like potentially make some of these investments. So what I thought was interesting about that is like, hey, I want to go like sit with NGP and sit with Halliburton Labs and just get like, get smart on this for like 6 months. And so he was like embedded with those groups. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, that's what I asked him when we're sitting there. I was like, what is y'all's strategy now? Because I know you want to do this energy tech fund, and sounds like they've gone pure play EMP, which brings up, you know, they're letting us play around with their dashboards and you know, showing us up on the screen. You know, Matt's like, I sit down every morning and these are the things I look through. And dude, I was super impressed with their real-time analytics that they had on their oil and gas production.
I will say that it seemed to me to be the most advanced that I've ever seen of an EMP.
Yeah.
At first glance, walking through that, I mean, those who've listened, followed what I've done historically, was playing the data management space, and they figured it out. I mean, it was like Rob just like passed me an iPad at lunch while everybody was talking.
Dude, imagine that, back in 2016, like the idea of passing across an iPad at lunch,
every
and having all
piece
of your data
of company information, anything you could possibly imagine was in there.
Yeah.
And it was clean.
You were sitting next to me. I looked over at you like while I was talking. I was like, I could see you're like, dude, I don't even know where like the fuck to go. There's so much data in here.
But it was like, I mean, just dashboard after dashboard. But the way that they put a lot of thought into it. I think what I appreciate about that is that it was through a learning experience of like all the scar tissue from Rob's time at Chesapeake.
Yeah.
And then
Parsley, Pioneer.
Yeah. It was a huge learning experience. So they wanted to set GreenLake up for success and scalability, you know, so that they can do GreenLake 1, GreenLake 2, GreenLake 3,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah.
Right. But have the data architecture in place to be able to do that. And I think so many times that's an afterthought for some of these like PE backed operators. They're an exception because, I mean, Rob is a technology guy who comes from oil and gas, but he is one of the managing partners of GreenLake, right?
Yeah.
You don't see that many times.
He's a tech guy.
One of the managing directors.
Yeah, you know, I thought also what was cool is they were talking about other technologies that they'd integrated, like Combo Curve. And so, you know, they were able to, you know, test their actual production against their type curves that they had generated with Combo Curve. And now, you know, that's going to, you know, give all types of insight to new drills or acquisitions and things of that nature. And also thought it was funny, you know, I always like using when I'm showing, so we ran them through the Collide demo and always like showing Barrel Hub's profile on Collide because it's fully built out. You know, they got demos, podcasts, screenshots, customers listed. So I always use Barrel Hub as our example along with Pod 2. I use them too. And usually though, when I ask, I'm like, have you heard of Barrel Hub? The answer is no. And they're like, yeah, we have heard of, we use Barrel Hub and we used it and it helped them make it sounded like a really good acquisition.
It paid for itself in under a month.
Yeah. And so I thought that was cool. Like,
he was like, don't tell anybody else about Barrel Hub, they'll raise their prices.
So here we are talking about it on a podcast, but shout out to Barrel Hub. I thought that was cool to hear it, but you know, I thought it was cool how GreenLake is not only focusing on their internal tech and data, but also integrating this new software. And you know, Rob had brought that up. He was like, yeah, you know, people see our dashboard and like, man, you should productize this and sell it. And what I appreciated about them was like, building like servicing software is hard. Like that's standing up an entire company. Yeah. So, you know, maybe we can get them on sometime, get Rob and Matt on sometime and just kind of talk about how they think about that type of stuff.
I think one of the things that was cool with, you know, Rob's like, you know, the ecosystem's large. There's lots of different software that you can connect with. We have a very basic litmus test where if you want to integrate, if I'm like, how quickly can we do this? And you're like, oh, it's going to be like a month or two. He was like, you're obviously not the right partner for us.
Yeah.
So like you have to have your architecture set up in a way that where we can plug in almost immediately.
Plug in
weeks
move
or days
fast, yeah,
to be able to do it.
I love that because that's a great litmus test. You know, he was at lunch talking, you know, about like SAP integrations. And he said at Chesapeake, you know, they had 200 SAP consultants
for a 3-year implementation.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Legend has it the implementation is still not done.
Yeah, that's
could be.
You know, that's like 20 times the employees we have at DW just
on one project
on a implementation.
Well, so what he said was that Aubrey at one time had 600 people in IT.
Yeah,
that's mind blowing.
Yeah,
it's
I wish
crazy
I could.
Been,
I wish I could have been at Chesapeake during the heyday of Aubrey,
just you know, blowing and going.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But it's cool to you know see the kind of the culmination of learnings from the entire team at their past EMPs, and now building an EMP from scratch and saying, hey, we're going to do it, you know, data first, data oriented, and, you know, be a tech company. So anyways, wanted to get on and just kind of download from our trip on that. I like this format. So
it's a cool format. We've been talking about doing vlogs, but that's like, it's kind of high barrier. It's video. You have to think about all the editing and stuff. It's much easier to just come in here and like debrief.
And Rob had called you out. Rob, you know, Rob's this big old dude, you know, he's gotta be, you know, 6'4" or something like that. And then just big dude. And he drives this, this town car, and we were laughing about it. It's like a 2006 town car, and on the back window it's got Green Lake in old English font. And anyway, so we're laughing about that, and he drives back and forth from Oklahoma City and Austin, and so he has lots of windshield time and listens to our podcast. And he called you out on one of the podcasts. I won't say who the guest was, but the guest was kind of like bashing on smaller EMPs and just not having their shit together when it came to data. And, you know, Rob's like, yeah, you know, Green Lake kind of blows that out of the water.
I mean, it's uncommon. It really is uncommon. But the fact that they have it all together, I think it just speaks to the experience that they have in the space. And it's remarkable. That's like the golden standard, in my opinion, kind of moving forward.
Yeah.
And if every company ran like that, the space would look wildly different.
Yeah.